Hello, I'm Pastor Steve. After my recent health problems, the doctors prescribed all kinds of big pharma to take care of my diabetes and my blood pressure, etc., etc., and those big pharma products did absolutely nothing to help me at all. Total waste of time. So I have tried and have been using the longevity products that are advertised on DIY Health here on EFR, and the results are rather spectacular. My blood pressure is way down in the normal range. My blood sugar is way down in the normal range. My energy level is up, and basically I really feel good. If you would like to try these products, you can contact my friend Patrick at area code 901-553-6900. That's area code 901-553-6900. Okay, that stuff really works, and I'm very pleased. And I don't easily endorse things. Give Patrick a call and tell him what's going on, and he can help you out. See you later. May Yahweh bless and keep you.
Live. Live. Hip, two, three, four. Hip, two, three, four. Lift. If we're the team at EFR,
we're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are,
make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip. Hip, two, three, four, hip.
Ah, shalom aleichem to all my pure-blooded white Christian Israelite brothers and sisters out there. This is your wake-up call, Army of Yahweh. I put in some repeats here lately, but I'm ahead on printing out on the prophets, and I have some time today, so I'm doing a new sermon that has come to me. The title of this sermon is Hunger and Thirst. Hunger and Thirst. I'm going to start out in the book of Amos, chapter 8. Amos, chapter 8, verse 11 and 12. Verse 11 of Amos chapter 8. And I'll be reading from the scriptures for the Institute for Scripture Research. Verse 11. See, the days are coming, declares the Master Yahweh, that I shall send a hunger in the land. Not a hunger for bread, nor a thirst for water, but for hearing the words of Yahweh. Verse 12. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north to east they shall diligently search, seeking the word of Yahweh, but they shall not find it. And on that verse, you can reference Jeremiah 5:13. That's Jeremiah 5:13. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12. Hosea 8:12 and Ezekiel, that's Yechezkel, chapter 34, verses 3-10. Hunger and thirst for the word of Yahweh. Because we've got so many out here that are preaching and teaching, but it's not the word of Yahweh, it's the doctrines of men modified for popularity. They've changed things around. They're preaching a social gospel. They are promoting universalism. They are promoting the rebelliousness for women. Women are not following their natural inclinations or scriptural instructions, many of them, not all. There are some godly women out there. But for the most part, what we see, the ones that are getting the press, all right, the ones that are getting all the publicity, they're the ones that are in rebelliousness. And I'm just not talking about the lesbians. I'm talking about normal women. They don't know how to relate to a real man, and men don't know how to be real men for the most part. They've got men going their own way now because they're tired of being victimized by predatory women that just want a free ride, and the women don't stay with the men. If they flip from man to man and bleed them dry and use them as a meal ticket, don't honor the marriage, they're unfaithful. And men are doing the same thing. All they're doing is running around picking up babes all the time. If they have a good woman at home, a lot of the men aren't faithful. So you can't, you get a good woman and you abuse her, how long do you think she's going to put up with that? She doesn't have any security. Women need security. They need real men. Well, they're having trouble finding real men. And then there's the other side of the coin, the women that when they do get a real man, they get a good one, they abuse him. So it's on both sides. It's not just one side of the coin. It's a sickness that has pervaded our society today that is dividing men and women. And it's in Israel. I'm talking about pure-blooded white Israel. How's our population doing, folks, of pure white children? See, this doctrine has been taught and infused in our society, and it's lowered our birth rate. That's one of the parts of the agenda of the Antichrist, to destroy the relationship between real men and real women. You get a real man, he can't find a real woman. he has to take what he can get. Well, there are real women out there that are looking for a real man, and they can't find them. I mean, it's a mess, and it is the machinations of the enemy. And those of us in Christian Israel realize this to a great extent. We're not blind. We see a lot of this. And we recognize that there is a problem. Some of us realize the source. Some of us don't. They don't see the game playing and the evilness of the group that is promoting this. They only see the devastating and destructive results of these ungodly teachings. That's all we're seeing. We're seeing the results of the destruction of our society. And we're having trouble dealing with it. We don't understand what to do. How do we stop this? How do we bring men and women back together? And women and men think that having children is an inconvenience, so they've been taught by the system about the abortion mills, and there is an agenda there that's hidden behind the scenes. That's only a lump of flesh. That's the teachings. Okay? And I am not guiltless on that. In my youth, before I became a Christian, before I knew, I was just the same as everybody else. I was blind, deaf, and dumb. I wasn't following Christ, didn't know Christ, didn't know about the Word. I was young and stupid, and I got a girl pregnant. And I was such a mess at the time, and she agreed. We paid to have her sent to New York where abortion was legal. It was not legal where I lived. Well, I go to the airport. To see her off on a plane. And some other dude shows up to see her off. And I said, who's this? And she didn't have an answer. So I'm wondering whether it was mine or not. There's no way to know now. This was way back. This is 50 years ago. Plus. Okay. This is 50 years ago. Well, now that I know the Word, I am horrified by what I did. Of course, I've asked for forgiveness, and it's been forgiven, but I still hate that action. Okay? I remember that sin on my part. So what's the result? Do I beat myself up forever? No. But I try to teach what I learned, that hard lesson. And I speak against the abortion mills. Well, you're not blameless. No, I am not blameless. I'm not claiming to be blameless. But I don't want others to make the mistake that I made. Okay? That's learning. That's a learning process. Now I'm an elder. I'm 72 years of age. And I can pass some wisdom on to younger people that I don't do it. Okay? Well, that opinion, don't do it, is very unpopular today. The public opinion and the official party line of society today in its wickedness is just the opposite of that. They started back then, before then. Now abortion is legal everywhere, and there are abortion clinics all over the place. And Eric Rudolph tried to fight against that and blew one up. Okay, well, Eric is spending life in prison. He's in the deepest, darkest dungeon that they can put him in. And he got a lot of support, you know, run Rudolph and all of that. Well, he just couldn't survive out in the woods. That's no way to try to live unless you have support. And there was a massive manhunt. And he finally just made it so he could get caught. He wanted to get caught because he was tired. The cop didn't actually catch him. He made sure he was caught. He was pressured by the people in the local area to turn himself in, to get the heat off of them, because they were giving the people in the area hell, interfering with all their lives. So they stopped supporting him. Well, that's all a symptom of the problems in society, because we're hungering and thirsting after the word of Yahweh. And when you get people that are actually preaching the word, they don't get much support today. Very, very hard, because the remnant is so very, very small. That's why it's called a remnant. It's only a small part of the whole. Well, a lot of Israel is not supporting the word. They'll go to their Judeo-Christian churches, and they will be fed the pablum that they are fed by the pulpit master. And they're fed universalism, and they're sitting in their Judeo-Christian church on the wrong day with mixed race couples and homosexuals and trans whatever. And it's all okay. It's okay in the churches to have that, because they're hungering and thirsting after the word of Yahweh, and they're looking for it, but they're not finding it. They're finding something else. They're searching from sea to sea, looking for the word of Yahweh, as it said in Amos, and they're not finding it. They can't find it. And you get these little websites and the little people like here at EFR, and we're just little people. We're not a mega church, because we're not preaching the popular message. We're preaching the word of Yahweh. And they don't want to hear that. They want to hear something that's going to tickle their ears. Feel good gospel, so they can live in the world and be part of the world and yet consider themselves Christians. But if you present true Christianity to them, they're horrified. If you teach what it teaches in Scripture, you're a hater, you're a Nazi, you're this, you're that, all the names and labels that they put on people like us. And it's so bad today, I downloaded a little poster that somebody put on the website. I need to open that up. Imagine being so disgusting, there have to be laws to try to stop normal people from hating you. Well, you know, that's a sad commentary, okay? But that's what's going on. Laws are being passed and pushed upon us by our so-called governments, not just here in the United States, I'm talking about worldwide. You know who you need to worry about when you're not allowed to criticize them. How many websites have been taken down? How many people's PayPal and other accounts have been canceled because they teach or say something that is unpopular or is against the agenda of Edom? And it tells you right in the book of Luke in chapter 11. Chapter 11, let's start at verse 47. Now, who are these people that are doing this? Well, Christ gets into it with them. Let's start at verse 47. Woe to you, because you build the tomb, tombs of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. That's verse 47 of chapter 11 of Luke. Verse 48. So you bear witness that you approve of the works of your fathers, because they indeed killed them, and you build their tombs. Well, building the tombs today, that work would be shutting down the websites, cutting off accounts, getting people fired from their jobs. That all comes under that heading. Verse 49. Now, this is Yeshua speaking. You want to dispute that word? That's on you. But don't cry to me when you have to face the judgment if you call Yeshua a liar. Verse 49. And because of this, the wisdom of Elohim said, pardon me, I shall send them prophets and emissaries. Now, what are emissaries? Messengers. Preachers. Okay, that's what who the emissaries were. Ambassadors, whatever you want to call them. And some of them they shall kill and persecute. What are they doing today to the preachers of the word of Yahweh? What are they doing? They're killing and persecuting. They're locking people up. People doubt something and they say anything in public. And they get hammered at the direction of these enemies' children. And our own people of Israel are hammering on us because they're being directed and deceived and prodded on by the children of the evil one that are described in John 8:44. Verse 50 of Luke chapter 11, so that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world shall be required of this generation. That's genea, that's race. Okay, that's race of this race. The children of the devil, their father's works they seek to do, okay? Of this genea. Verse 51. Verse 51 of chapter 11 of the book of Luke. You can reference Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Genesis 4, 8. And 2 Chronicles chapter 24, verses 20 and 21. That's 2 Chronicles 24, 20 and 21. From the blood of Habel, that's Abel in your King James Bible, to the blood of Zechariah, who perished between the slaughter place, that's the altar, and the dwelling place, that's the Holy of Holies. Yes, I say to you, it shall be required of this genea, again, this race, this generation, of the seed of the Nakash, the vipers, described in John 8:44. Ongoing practices that suppress and punish and kill those who teach and preach the word of Yahweh. And no wonder there is a hunger and a thirst for the word. Because the word has dried up like water in a desert land. And it's artificially induced. It's artificially induced by these children of the devil. Concerted effort. Oh, it's a conspiracy. Yeah. It's not just a conspiracy. It is their nature, the nature of that ethnic group, that race, to counter and fight against the word of Yahweh. They don't want that word out there. They don't want the word to be taught. And the hunger and thirst is created. It is a created lack of the word by the children of the enemy. This is how they do it. They've done it from the very beginning, and they are still doing it. And when we try to wake people up to that, a few will listen. But most will call us names because they have been brainwashed into thinking that these children of the devil are the chosen people, when they are not. They are not the chosen people at all. They are masquerading. They are imposters. They are infiltrators. They are deceivers. And not only will they try to suppress the word and punish those that teach it, they will put all kinds of weird doctrine out there to confuse people so that they'll go off on some tangent and follow this claptrap that they're teaching. They create alternative doctrine to the word of Yahweh that there's little pieces of the word in there, but they'll slip this other stuff in to confuse and deceive the very elect. What does it say? Even the very elect will be deceived. Those that should be in the kingdom, should be in the remnant, won't be because they're believing on this garbage preached and taught by the minions of these satanic seed line people. They've infiltrated the Judeo-Christian churches and they are preaching this twisted gospel like Billy Graham, John Hagee, Joel Osteen. Those people are deceivers, they're liars, they're obfuscators. Preaching a social gospel, preaching integration, preaching race mixing. Telling people it's okay to be gay. It's okay to be gay. No, it's not. In the scripture that they don't preach, it says it's a death penalty for that. It used to be a law all over this nation that that kind of behavior was illegal. You would go to prison for it. You would be punished for crimes against nature because it's an unnatural process. It's unnatural. It's devilish. In nature. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Devilish. Promoted by the children of the devil. I'm not joking when I say it's devilish. It is of the devil. But they own all the news media and the TV stations and the radio and the music industry. The music that they put out today promotes this, and it's just promoted all over. It has become the norm, quote unquote. That's the way people are taught to think today. And the word of Yahweh is suppressed, and those that really want to find the word are hungering and thirsting after the truth. But the truth they're stepping on the truth. They don't want the truth out there. And when you preach the truth, when you try to teach it and preach it, what it says right here in Luke comes to pass. How many people in Christian identity have gone down before this beast system? And how many more will? It says in Scripture very clearly that they will kill us all the day long and think they do God a service. These deluded Israelite so-called Christians of our own people will be the ones that they use against us. And if you really start making a dent in their system like EFR has been, let's use EFR as an example. Look at the attacks on EFR. Look at the attacks on those that preach the word. Look at the infiltrators they have tried to put in amongst us teaching false doctrine. Teachers of lies that have been slipped in. In order to put some truth out there, but then they take you down a different path. My. A little truth interspersed with some lies, false doctrine, crazy theories. To divide the sheep, to scatter them. And it says, woe to he that scatters the sheep. Then they attack, oh, you're the one that's dividing the brethren. You've attacked so-and-so. Well, when so-and-so teaches false doctrine as a preacher, as a called out one, it is my duty and the duty of others that are called out ones to, first of all, rebuke. Look, come back into the fold. You're teaching something that isn't true. You're teaching falsehoods here. You're slipping this in along with the other stuff that you should be teaching. Well, you're teaching stuff that you shouldn't be teaching. You've got to stop that. And they don't. And we have to expel them from our group. You know, we can't have somebody presenting themselves as a teacher and a preacher that is teaching false doctrine. We can't have that. We're watchmen on the wall. And this type of behavior adds to the hunger and thirst for the word. People are hungry and thirsty for the word of Yahweh. And how can we permit false doctrine to be interspersed with the word of Yahweh? We cannot permit that. We would not be vigilant. We would not be doing our duty as watchmen on the wall if we allow this. So then the followers of that false doctrine, their little fan club, start calling us names. Oh, you're a hater and you attacked so-and-so. No, I didn't attack so-and-so. I attacked a doctrine. And then you look at the guy's personal life, and he's got all kinds of stuff he's doing in his personal life that would go against Scripture. Now, come on, folks. Enough is enough. And I'm not saying the rest of us are without blame on anything, that our lives haven't had problems. But the difference is the Holy Spirit has convicted us of our sins, and we have stopped that behavior and turned the other way. We've come back into the truth of the gospel. And don't go along with even our former own behavior. And we preach against it. And we point at the guy in the mirror, look, I've been there, I've done that, I'm trying to alert you to not do this. This has crept into my life, whatever. Whatever preacher is preaching to you, not just me, but other people. Because Scripture says clearly, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of Yahweh. All. That's us included. But the difference is, you have to repent and change your ways. Then there's forgiveness. If there is repentance, that nasty two-letter word, if. If you repent. If. And if you do not repent and you continue in those ways, then there is no forgiveness. You can't just give lip service to it. You have to begin doing the right thing. You cannot continue in apostasy and expect Yahweh to put up with it. Nor should we, as followers of the way and the word, put up with it. No. You can only give things a pass so long. You have to give the person an opportunity to change. And then if they won't change and they continue in what they're doing, you have to cut them off. Because the Bible says to do that. Not us, not our rules, Yahweh's rules. You cut them off. Sorry, but can't fellowship with you as long as you're doing this. You know, we've warned you and warned you and warned you. Don't do this. Don't stop it. And you won't. You won't. So, what do you do? I mean, 7 times 7? Okay, well, that's if somebody sins against you. They're not sinning against me, they're sinning against the Father. Now that takes it into a different perspective. If you sin against the Father, the elders need to call a halt to it. And if you do that, then the followers of the incorrect way are going to attack you. They're going to defend the wrong against those that teach the right. They're going to follow men and men's doctrines rather than follow the word. And there's a hunger and thirst for the word. But when you get these people throw in stuff that's not in the word, and they throw in their opinion and these crazy theories, we don't need to be worrying about anything except getting our personal lives right with Yahweh. That's the only thing the remnant needs to be occupied with at this time. That's all. Don't worry about doubtful disputations. Stay in the Word. If it's not in the Word, then it's something that men have interspersed, and you need to be very, very careful. You cannot follow the doctrines of men, because that's what the Pharisees were doing. They were teaching Talmudism instead of the Torah. Well, some of the people in CI have been putting stuff in that's not in the scripture. They're adding to, and they're distracting from the word. They're teaching stuff that's not in the word. And because they put the word out there, they put some of it out there, they expect people just to go along with everything that they're doing. We can't do that, folks. We can't do that. We're hungering and thirsting for the word, so what do you do about that? You stay in the word, and you don't go outside the word. There's everything you need to know. Everything you need to know. The word, the book that we have today, if you study, you can even use a King James Bible with all its errors. And you can get the truth if you do the research. You're not going to get it just straight from the King James. You're going to have to work at it. If you hunger and thirst after the word, you need to study to show yourself approved. It's going to take effort. You can't just go to church on Sunday and listen to that guy in the pulpit. You need to do your own research, and you need to work at it. It requires effort on your part to be a real Christian. Not Christian in name only, but the real deal. You study, you work at it, you examine your own life, get the beam out of your own eye before you worry about the splinter in others. Well, that's most people. Then you have the preachers, and the preachers are set apart, and we're different. Okay? Not that we're blameless, we're sinless. We have to be vigilant on our own lives. But we've been called to teach. And those that are not called sometimes are very jealous or angry when we teach the word, and the word reaches out and bites them. Well, the word bites us too, and we have to bite the bullet and preach it anyway and change our own lives around. You don't think that going through the gospel daily, that it doesn't pick apart my own life? You gotta be kidding me, man. I get slapped upside the head. I've been doing something, or I've been doing this, or I've been doing that, and I start to stray a little bit, and the word reaches out and just slaps the heck out of me. Wake up, boy. Oh. Yeah. Oh. Yeah. What did St. Paul say? He says, I die daily. Does it mean that he died every day and is resurrected? No, it means he dies to the world, dies to sin. He asks for forgiveness. And then you have to make a change. When you have something pointed out to you by the word, if you're hungering and thirsting after the word, then when the word shows you something, you need to change your personal life to match the word. You don't change the word to match your life. That's what churchianity has done. They've twisted the word to match what their agenda is. Their lifestyle that they have chosen, that most people have chosen, so they're preaching this lifestyle in their so-called churches, and they're raking in the profits because it's a profit-driven church. It's a business opportunity. That's what it is. It's a business. They make their money off of that. It's a commercial enterprise. in the guise of religion. And they're going to teach and preach what's popular. But if you read in the scripture, you find out that the word has never been popular. It's not a popularity contest. Oh, everybody loves me because I don't offend anyone. And kumbaya, we're all brothers and sisters, and can't we all just get along? And it's okay if you're gay, and it's okay if you're race mix, and as long as you come to our church and drop money in the plate, it's okay.
Oh.
And people find out that I'm into scripture, and that, well, come and speak to us in our church. If I came in your church and I preached a sermon like I preach, the roof would fall in. You'd run out of there screaming. You don't want me to come and preach in your Judeo-Christian church, because what I'd say would burn it down. Oh, man. It gets rough. It gets rough out here. It's hard to live the life by the word. But if you hunger and thirst after the word, there is a lot in the world you're going to have to forego. You're going to have to give it up. You're not going to be able to stay in the world, live by the world. It's just not going to happen. And that really upsets folks. They don't want to hear that. They want to go along and get along and just do one day a week on the wrong day and then go out and live, go right back into the world. They've done their duty through the week. They don't make any conscious efforts to change their lives. They think that trip to that building once a week is going to get them into heaven. It's okay, you know, because that's what they're taught. They're taught false doctrine, and they think that's how you get into heaven. You follow what that pulpit master is saying, and it's okay. And you, it's okay to be gay. It's okay to race mix. It's okay to do all the things that you do in the world. It's okay as long as you come to that building once a week and drop money in the plate. That makes it okay. That's not the word. Hungering and thirsting after the word, but they don't find it. They can't find it. You can't find it in your Judeo-Christian churches. You're not going to hear the word in the Judeo-Christian setting. And on the flip side, we need to be vigilant in Christian identity, Israel identity, whatever label you want to put on it. We need to be vigilant that we don't have people creep in unawares and twist what it says in the gospel and insert their own little cultish thing and lead people off in a divergent direction. We have to guard against that. And boy, does that make us unpopular. Even, you know, we'll have whole groups leave because we preach the truth. That's a culling of the herd, folks. It's a culling of the herd. Yahweh's word will weed them out if they're going to follow the doctrines of men and follow a man as an example, a so-called leader. How many of them have popped up over the years? How many? And they scatter the sheep, and it says, woe to them that scatters the sheep. Woe to them. Woe. Woe. Woe to those that do that. Well, woe to those that do it. And then their little followers give the teachers woe. You know, oh, you're a hater. You're dividing. No, I'm not dividing. The word is dividing. If you stray from the word, you're teaching something that's false. Can't have that. I'm sorry. Not going to go along with it. Not gonna. So call me names. Call David James names. Call Eli names. That's not going to make any difference. We don't answer to you. We answer to Yahweh. And we're going to teach the word, and we're going to be vigilant, and we're going to continue to clean up our own lives as well. Where do you think I get all this stuff? I get it from my own life, where I see where I'm doing something wrong according to the word, and I have to bring my life back to the word. It's a constant cleaning process. And if you think because somebody's a preacher they're gonna get out from under that, you're crazy. It's worse. It's harder. It's harder on us than it is on everybody else. How many times do I have to kick myself in the backside? You know? Yeah, but you're pointing fingers. That's my job. I've got to point out this stuff. I don't have a choice. Cut me some slack here, folks. You think this is easy? I've been ostracized even by some of our former own people. Even some of the Israelites don't like what I have to say because it puts them under the onus of having to be obedient to Yahweh, and they don't like that. That is inconvenient. Well, I'm coming down the end. This has been a tough sermon, a tough on me. Yahweh's been blessing, and I've got a lot of work done lately. Really have. He's blessed. And I'll have the prophets done by the Feast of Tabernacles. Within another couple of weeks, I'll be finished with the printout, and I'll have them available. So, may Yahweh bless and keep you and stay in the Word. If you're hungry and thirsty for it, stay in the Word. Praise Yahweh.
Lift, lift, hip, two, three, four, hip, two, three, four, lift, lift. We're the team at EFR.
We're the team at EFR.
Make the most of what we are.
Make the most of what we are.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
We love Yahweh, He's our King.
To His glory we now sing.
To His glory we now sing.
Hip, hip, two, three, four, hip.